Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings, buy one get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties, buy two get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Welcome back. It's Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. The August and Charles with L. Willingham. I'll take you up to 6:45. Quick update on the Peach Bowl. The kid Levitt, this star-studded freshman, doing the damn thing for Arizona State. He just converted a 3rd-and-14 scramble. He's now inside of the 5-yard line as Arizona State's on their first possession still of OT. We'll keep you up to speed on the Peach Bowl. Right now, though, I want to bring another guest on to the program, our guy Steve Weish, chief national reporter for the NFL Network. Right now, though, waste no more time. We'll go out to the guest hotline for the first time in the show and bring on one of my absolute favorite guys to talk to, chief national reporter for NFL Network, the co-host of Game Day Preview on NFL Network, my guy Steve Weish. Make sure you give him a follow on the X app at Weish89. Steve, happy holiday season, my brother. How you feeling?
Hey, I'm great, man. Happy New Year's Eve. Let's hope we make it to 2025 and make it a great one.
I'm about to say, brother, we got about 7 hours and 59 minutes to realize that, so hopefully we make it there, my friend. I saw you and my guy Mike Yam talking about Lions and Niners last night. I opened up the show, Steve, saying, sorry for the NFL that they had the final Monday night game not really mean anything in terms of, like, playoff implications. But one thing I was looking at was how Brock Purdy fared in his last time in a primetime spot before the contract conundrum presents itself this offseason. He's slated to make $1.1 million next year. Based on the way 2024 has gone, Steve, how do you see the contract situation working out between Purdy and the Niners?
Yeah, it's such an interesting conversation because I'm the believer, like, if all the comps in your neighborhood, all the homes are selling for $600,000, right? Why wouldn't your home sell for $600,000, even if you haven't painted anything? You know, usually the market dictates what people pay, right? So you would think that Brock Purdy would be in there in that $50 to $60 million average per year range because that's what quarterbacks are getting paid now, right? But do the Niners do that, or do they say, well, if we allow the open market to dictate how many other teams would pay Brock Purdy that? And to me, that's the interesting conundrum, because I don't think there's too, as much as teams need quarterbacks, I don't think there's too many teams out there that would pay Brock Purdy $50 to $60 million a year. I think he's a hell of a quarterback. I don't think he's a system quarterback. I do think he's somebody who thrives when he's got all the weapons around him, but what quarterback doesn't? So I'm intrigued. I mean, how he performed last night with the two interceptions, that's not going to impact his overall body work, which is very, very good. So it'll just be very interesting to see if there's anybody out there that would make the Niners say, we got to pay him or else we're going to lose him.
And I'm glad you brought up the injury situation, Steve, because when I look at San Francisco and their situation here with Brock, how much does that hold weight? That he's kind of had an injuries problem here over since he's taken over as a starter. I don't think we've ever seen him play in 17 games. Like, does that factor into their decision making at all? Especially what kind of injury he's dealing with?
We can't do that. I mean, it didn't impact Tua. It didn't impact Trevor Lawrence with those guys in contract. It didn't impact Joey Burrow. So I don't think that factors into it. I mean, I know that they love him. I know that they love him, just everything about him. His teammates love him. But you have to say to yourself, 5 years from now, how many of those teammates are going to be there?
That's the question.
So, you know, it's just one of these things where the injury, it is what it is. You know, the early results on this elbow thing now are that he had a little nerve issue, but it's not anything long term like the thing he had in from the Eagles playoff game a couple years ago. So it happens. Guys get hit on the elbow. It's a bad, funny bone type burner type of thing, and they bounce back from it. So we'll see how that goes. But I don't think the injury is going to be that much of a factor.
When you begin to comp Brock Purdy, Steve, like what other quarterback, whether it's from this era or maybe a couple of years ago, do you compare him to in terms of like talent level?
Well, I mean, it's hard. I mean, because he can make all throws. He's a shorter guy.
Yeah.
He doesn't run around like Russell Wilson did in his prime, but he's got the ability to do that to some degree. I don't have a direct, like, immediate comp when I look at him and say, okay, this is Baker Mayfield, because I think they're different players.
Right.
But, I mean, physically, that's kind of how he's put together. But, again, Brock Purdy, man, for the most part, when you watch him play, he's a really good player.
He is.
And so they don't ask as much out of him as maybe the Packers ask out of Jordan Love. So those are other factors. But, look, is he Andy Dalton? Yeah, he's Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton better than Andy Dalton in terms of what he's going to give you week in and week out. Things have to go well for him to be at his best. But, again, that's the case for most quarterbacks.
It's a fascinating discussion, Steve, because I continue to believe, you know, quarterback is such an important position, obviously. But I think, and I guess the market is the market, I personally feel like those $50 and $60 million per year contracts should be reserved for the guys that clearly, Steve, elevate their teams. I don't know if you can say that Purdy does that, especially with how he performs when the top guys aren't in the lineup. And I understand other guys have to perform without their guys too, but it feels like there is a big drop-off with Purdy there. Do you think he's the type of cat that would hold out? Because there are some different ways this could go, Steve, to where he kind of forces San Francisco's hand, because they could ultimately kick back and say, hey, bro, play out 2025 on this $1 million deal.
Yeah.
We'll give you the Jordan Love one-year extension, and then we'll franchise tag you. So, like, I just don't think they're going to let him walk away for free. But based on what you're, you know, hearing around that area, do you consider that a possibility that he holds out?
No.
No.
I don't.
Okay.
I don't think he's going to hold out. But I also think the Niners would do him a solid. You know, what is a solid? I don't know. But this is the time. They've got roster decisions to make, which also factor into this.
Right.
Are they going to hang on to Deebo Samuel? Are they going to hang on to some of these veterans who they're paying big contracts to? Because they've got to start clearing their cap a little bit to build for their future, because now that rookie contract that he's on is about to expire. Right, so all of these things factor into what the Niners think they want their short and long-term roster to look like.
It's going to be fascinating to see, man. It's going to be an interesting offseason for the San Francisco 49ers. Steve, as a D.C. guy, I got to ask you about my beloved Washington Commanders. Just an absolute Cinderella story. I remember talking to you when you came out to camp with Scott Pioli and said, man, this kid looks good. I don't think any of us thought he would be this good. One, what's been so impressive to you about Jaden Daniels, and then big picture for DC, Steve, what type of shot do you give them to upset a team in the postseason?
Well, I mean, first off, you know, you're right. None of us really thought that Jaden Daniels was going to be this good, because none of us thought the team was going to be this good, right? That's the big thing. But when we saw him early on, I spoke to some coaches there. They're like, you know, he can play the pistol, shotgun, under center. Like, he's not limited. He's one of these guys who's got a lot of experience coming out of college, to the point where they even tried to trick him with some coverages, with some fronts in practice. And he diagnosed it right away, checked into the right place. So they're like, okay, this kid's ready. Now, we know, we hear about the work ethic. He's in there every morning at 5 a.m. and 5:30 with Cliff Kingsbury. So the fact that he can get this offense out of a jam, and you saw this against the Falcons the other night. I mean, when he was under pressure, he could take off and run. He could scramble, make a play.
For sure.
That keeps his receivers engaged, right? That keeps his linemen engaged. And so because you never know what he's going to do. So that gives them a big-time chance. Right now, who would they be playing? Right. The Rams, if things ended today? Why couldn't they come out to Los Angeles and beat the Rams? That's an exciting game. But when you've got a quarterback like him who can make plays when everything else breaks down, that is a swing vote with all things being equal.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. I'm excited to see it. He's lit the DMV on fire. It's the most fun I've ever had as a Washington football fan. I'm just hoping that he stays healthy, man. I know when his knee got bent back Sunday, dude. I mean,
oh, my God.
I was doing a live show at a sports bar. I mean, you could hear a pin drop.
And it was flashbacks of 2012. Thank God he's young and pliable because that did not look good.
Yeah, flexibility is huge. Steve, you mentioned him being a five-year starter at quarterback. With the success of Knicks, with the success of Daniels, you think teams are going to start looking at that position a little bit differently and start preferring guys, though Purdy in there as well, preferring guys that have, you know, gone through the ringer, so to speak, in their collegiate career?
And I'm glad you had a Brock Purdy. I think Brock Purdy changed that. When he was able to come in as a rookie halfway through a game against the Dolphins, I'll never forget it, and not miss a beat. He could diagnose things. He could understand circumstance. I really think that goes into the thinking, because you look at the young quarterbacks this year who are succeeding, even to some degree Caleb Williams, who's played a lot of football, right? He's in a bad situation. But all these guys are playing well, you know, and that experience suits them. They can take coaching. They can take different types of coaching. Again, but to be able to diagnose defenses and understand circumstance, that's huge. So, yes, I think more and more teams are looking at quarterbacks who've got that experience, maybe even guys who've transferred, right? Again, who can show the mental capability to play under different systems and different coaching to come in and play them right away. I think that's hugely important, because who's the one quarterback who has not had much experience over the past 2 years who we don't know what he is yet? I mean, and that's Anthony Richardson, right? The guy had 13 starts coming out. We don't know what he is. But everybody else, I think we've got a pretty good definition of what, you know, he is and what he can be.
I'm glad you brought up the Anthony Richardson situation, Shane Steichen had a pretty interesting quote earlier today about what's going on there in Indy. And the quote, I believe, Steve, was everybody's tardy every once in a while. I know I have a friend that has a friend on the team, and he's been very open and honest about the way things are going there in Indianapolis. What do you make of the Colts situation? And ownership obviously is very dialed in over there. Like, Ursay is known for being like hands-on. I'm worried about the environment that they're fostering there in Indianapolis, Steve. When the starting quarterback is falling asleep, oversleeping rather, a practice, and then he taps himself out of the game in the same week, it ain't usually a good look. What's your gauge on what's going on in Indianapolis, and do you think there may be a situation where they pull the plug on Richardson prematurely?
Well, if he doesn't grow up, they have to, right? You can't have that. You have 52 other guys you also have to coach, right? These are grown men whose livelihood depend on this. That's why, along with the coaching staff, they've got to hold him accountable, right? Do you think he's doing that in Philadelphia? Do you think he's doing that in San Francisco or Green Bay or Minnesota or some of
Well, Steve, I'll say this.
Or Pittsburgh? No.
See, if he started the week that he overslept.
Yeah. I mean,
does that happen in other organizations?
I mean, if it happens, it happens once. Right? You think Mike Tomlin's going to let a guy oversleep?
Right.
You know, but this is also accountability. This is player accountability. When you go into Pittsburgh, when you go to Green Bay, when you go to Baltimore, do you think you would ever dare, if you've never set foot in that building, you would dare fall asleep in a meeting? Absolutely not. The standard is, as Mike Tomlin says, the standard is the standard. You know, going in as a free agent or as a rookie, you can't slip because it's not tolerated. So that's something that the players in the organization, including the coaching staff, has to check. And it never has to happen again, because that's embarrassing. And that's you as a player saying to yourself, oh, man, you know, what's happening? Because the fact that it's become public, that ain't good. That's not going to work for you whether you're in Indianapolis or you go to another franchise. You know, we hear about second chances and guys, reclamation projects all the time, but you're going to lose out on a lot of money in that process if you don't tighten things up.
Yes, you are. Joined right now on the guest hotline by Chief National Reporter for the NFL Network, Steve Weish. You can give him a follow on the X app at Weish89. When you look at the situation in Buffalo right now, Steve, the Bills seem like they've got it going on. Josh Allen, in most people's minds, the favorite for the MVP. They look pretty locked into that two seed in the AFC. Is this the year, in your opinion, Steve, that Buffalo gets over the hump? Especially when you consider, you know, how they've kind of eased the burden, or not eased the burden, Josh Allen's kind of eased the burden on himself, not trying to be Superman in every situation. I like the way they're currently built and constructed. Do you think it's good enough for a postseason run?
Yeah, I mean, look, I feel about them going to the postseason the way I felt about the past couple of years. They've got a chance. But tell me this, if everything gets all wonky this weekend and the Bengals get in, which they very much could, as the number 7 seed, and they go up to Buffalo.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, are you super comfortable all of a sudden about Buffalo?
No. Not when you consider the injuries Buffalo has defensively, too.
The injuries, and look at – here's the thing. Buffalo, and this includes Buffalo, look at the cream of the crop in the AFC. They're all playing well at the right time. Right, Buffalo, the Ravens look frightening now that their defense is tightened up. Since the Chiefs moved guard Joe Tooney out to left tackle, their offensive line has settled in the past 3 weeks. They look super good because we know how good that defense is, but look at how comfortable Patrick Mahomes feels. Right, it's like, man, as great as Buffalo has been and as special as Josh Allen has been, if they had to face Baltimore, you're like, well, they got him. I don't know. Chiefs, I don't know. It's real yeah, tough because all those teams are playing so well, you know, at the right time. That's why the AFC, both conference playoffs are going to be great, but the cream of the crop in the AFC is really risen to the top.
Yeah, I can't help but agree with you, my friend. As far as MVP goes, I don't want to put words in your mouth. Do you believe Josh Allen is the NFL MVP, or do you think it comes down to how Week 18 rolls out?
It could, especially if the Bengals get in with the season Joe Burrow's having. I still think it would be hard to take it away from Josh. I won't say take it away, not vote him in as the MVP. Because coming into the season, let's think about, the Bills are going to take a step back. They lost Gabe Davis. They lost Stephon Diggs. They lost Mitch Morse. They lost all these veteran players. Who are these guys who are going to be catching the ball and doing this and that? They had to change what they did offensively, and they're playing the best we've seen them play. And a lot of that is Josh Allen. His rushing touchdowns are not tush push touchdowns. And that's not to take anything away from Lamar, who's been absolutely sensational. But the voters, the people who voted, but well, he's got two. Let's get Josh one. You know how that works. There's going to be a little bit of factor of that in there as well. And then you say to yourself, Saquon got 2,000 rushing yards. Like, this is insane. And what Joe Burrow is doing is insane. What, they've lost 4 games, they scored 34-plus points? Not on him.
It just doesn't happen. Yeah.
But I just think, all of those other teams, Burrow's got T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. You know, Lamar's got Zay Flowers and Mark Andrews. That's going to work against them when it comes to the voting because, you know, Josh Allen, people are going to say, well, who did he have other than James Cook?
The NFL coaching carousel going to spin here coming up on Monday. Steve, when you look at the gigs, there are obvious openings that are already available. Chicago, many people expect jobs like New Orleans and potentially Jacksonville to come open, the Raiders potentially. Is there a surprise team that may blow out their head coach, Steve?
There always is. I don't know what it is. There always is. I just, you know, last year we were surprised by Pete Carroll, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't really know. I mean, I think in New England, Gerard Mayo is safe. I think there's going to be maybe some other changes on that staff. But I was at that game they played this weekend, the Saturday game, and they were horrible. And I mean, the people up there are coming after Mayo, the fans and everything else. I just don't know organizationally if they feel it'd be fair because they knew the season was very much going to play out like this to some degree. Again, with Antonio Pierce, will he be one and done in Las Vegas? We'll see. In terms of I haven't identified or heard anything as to what could be considered a surprise, like we saw last year with Pete Carroll. Just not yet, but there always is one. There's more we don't expect that happens. So that's why this time of year always gets intriguing.
Yes, this is always intriguing. I know you get super busy. Real quick on the Jets, they're slated to interview Rex Ryan and Ron Rivera. The likelihood that either of those two get the job, and then how attractive is that job up in New York?
Wow, that is a loaded question. I don't see them hiring a defensive coach just because that's just a trend. They just had Robert Saleh and Jeff Ulbrich the interim. Maybe they go offense. You know, that's typically how owners do. How attractive is that job? It depends on what you're looking for. If the ownership says we're bringing Aaron Rodgers back, that might be appealing to some candidates. That might be an absolute turnoff to others. When they can start, go to a club and start with a Shedeur Sanders, or, you know, start with a kid from the University of Miami, or a younger quarterback, maybe Sam Darnold if he leaves Minnesota. It just really all depends on the circumstance. But I think the chaos that has surrounded the Jets for years and just got blown up to symphony status in terms of the public volume this year, I really don't know. There's always these agencies who will put a coach in a place because the money is great. But is it great for that coach's career? Someone's going to take it. I just don't know if it is something where you have a lot of other jobs open, like Jacksonville or something. You want that one above some of the others.
Yeah, I agree. Steve, appreciate you giving us some time as always, my man. Enjoy the holiday season, man. We'll be looking forward to watching your work, my brother.
You too. Happy New Year.
Always love catching up with my guy, Steve Wyche, chief national reporter for the NFL Network. We have gone final at the Peach Bowl. Quinn Ewers throwing a big-time touchdown that tied the football game up. Tied the football game up. Then they go out and get a stop, and they score again, and then the defense of Texas picking off Leavitt. And that's how we're going to finish things up here. We're underway in the Rose Bowl. Ohio State up 7-0. Jeremiah Smith already with a big-time touchdown on a screen pass. We'll keep up the speed with the latest out at the Rose Bowl when we come back. But a lot more to get to, man. About an hour and change left to go on the program. Wizards basketball coming up at 6:45 over on the Team 980. Take Command coming up here on 106.7 The Fan. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll get right back into the burgundy and gold. There's a question that I have. What's a bigger concern as Washington gets geared up for the postseason? The run defense or the lack of weaponry at the wide receiver spot? We'll tackle that next on The Fan.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Still moving and grooving right along as we're on a mad sprint to 6:45 here on 106.7 The Fan. We're also simulcasting on our sister station, the Team 980. It's the youngest in charge, Linnell Willingham, sitting in for G&D here on New Year's Day. For just now joining us, Happy New Year's to you and yours. I want to get you a quick update here on the college football playoff. We told you going into the last break, Texas in a heartbreaking fashion. Quinn Ewers, Max protecting, sliding the line their correct way, and then hooks up on a big touchdown pass to Gunnar Helm on the two-point conversion. The initial pass goes to Matthew Golden, 28-yarder. Can we ask, can we get Kenny Dillingham on the phone potentially, Ryan, to ask why they go zero blitz in a 4th-and-13 situation? So we don't have Coach Dillingham, but we have the next best thing. The biggest Arizona State fan that I know, the producer of the Sports Junkies, weekdays 6 to 10 on the Fan and the Team 980. Drab T-shirt, are you all right, brother?
Hold on, Linnell. I got to pick my heart up off the ground here and dust it off and put it back into my chest cavity.
Dude, take us through your emotions throughout the entirety of this football game because, as you know, Texas jumps out to a 17-3 start. It felt like the sports books were right with that large spread that they put on the game. What was the spread at kickoff, Drab? Do you know?
I think it was 13.5.
It was 14.5 yesterday, right?
Oh, well, I think so. It must have come down a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, ASU couldn't do anything in the first half as far as putting points on the board, but outside of those two big plays, the punt return and the Ewers long play, the Sun Devils were actually playing pretty good. They were out, had way more yards than Texas. They had time of possession. They just couldn't finish in any of these drives. I was at a sports bar. No one's paying attention, really. I just Drab sitting there on the edge of my seat. And then, through three quarters, not much is happening because ASU can't finish any drives. And then out of nowhere, ASU comes back. The sports bar comes alive. Everyone's hooting and hollering and screaming. Some like 70-year-old lady came in to get some takeout. As soon as she sat down waiting for her order, Scadaboo throws the touchdown pass. I look at her. I said, "You're my good luck charm. You can't leave." She stayed with me all the way until overtime.
No way.
And then that's when she left. And then we lost.
So the real person to blame is the 70-year-old woman that comes into the sports bar, actually provides ASU and the fans some good juju, and then just snatches it away from you by walking out.
The time she walked in, we scored on the very first play. She stayed with me the entire fourth quarter, and then she left, and then we lost.
That's tough.
4th-and-13, Linnell. Why are you? That was the worst blitz I've ever seen.
I mean,
they played great. I'm not going to get angry. It was an amazing game. They really shouldn't have been there. Nobody thought they'd be there. They're supposed to be terrible.
Yeah.
But, I mean, bro, can we get any pressure? I mean, that was horrible. Why are we blitzing on 4th-and-13?
Well, that was the thing I tweeted out, and, people are agreeing and disagreeing. I'm trying to figure out, was it a zero blitz? Or did they?
It looked like they sent the house. It looked like they had blitzed about three guys.
It definitely felt like it.
Yeah,
it's a bad play.
And then
call.
Of course, Golden gets behind the DBs there,
go ahead.
Yeah, it was a good throw.
Quinn Ewers threw straight dimes to end this football game is what I'd say. He made three. Big
yeah,
ones.
He didn't play great until the end either. So
no, he didn't.
Hey, you know what? That's college football. That was a lot of fun. I hope people who didn't even have a rooting interest in that game, everyone's been dogging the playoffs so far, and maybe even myself a little bit too. The games haven't been great, and this one was looking the same, and ASU just kind of kept fighting back. I know my guy Clary there, he doesn't like Kenny Dillingham for whatever reason. He thinks he's a douchebag, and Clary gets under my skin whenever he says that. But clearly a good head coach, and he's building something special there in the Valley of the Sun.
Well, I actually have another bone to pick with you now. Are you all of a sudden a parent that just wants to have fun? Because you're just glad you have fun after you just lost in double overtime, it sounds like.
You know what people sleep on, Clary?
Uh-huh.
They sleep on happy to be here. Sometimes you just gotta be happy to be here. You know what? If the Commanders don't win the Super Bowl this year, guys, just remember, happy to be here. Sometimes it's just nice to be invited to the dance. No, that hurt, man. That hurt. But it is what it is. We didn't have great expectations, so we played our asses off. Not much more you can do. I hope if Cam Scadaboo ends up on the 49ers, and I know that's a Kyle Shanahan pick, it's going to kill me because as a diehard Seahawks fan, the one team I don't want to see him on is the 49ers, and it's like a perfect fit.
I was about to say, America got introduced to Scadaboo today, man. He was awesome. The 42-yard touchdown pass was gas. Like, the dude can play. Me and Ryan were going back and forth. He's not fast at all. So how
but
does
he's not
he
slow. He's like 4'5". He's like Maurice Jones-Drew. That's who I think he's a lot like. Maybe,
Pocket Hercules.
Maybe not. Everyone says Mike Alstott. I think that's kind of unfair, but
just because he's white. I mean, is that why? But that has nothing.
Just
because
he's
with
white,
it.
And, yeah. And strong.
Lazy comp. But, what about the quarterback though, Drav? That's what I kept asking Ryan about. I'm like, dude, who is Sam Leavitt? He threw some darts in this game.
He threw some darts. His stat line actually is not that impressive. I thought he played a lot better than when I was just looking at his stat line. It was like 46 passes for 220 yards, zero touchdowns. And he had the pick there at the end. But, I mean, he's a redshirt freshman. He's running his ass off all game, trying to make plays happen. I got no bones to pick with him. And I hate blaming officials, and I'm not even blaming the officials on this. But
the targeting?
Can we have targeting or not have targeting? Like, that was clearly targeting. The guy led with his head. Forcible contact to the head or neck area. I mean, what are we doing here? That was clearly targeting.
That's tough.
I don't understand. I mean, look, ASU probably would have missed the field goal anyways or whatever. I mean, they can't kick field goals, but that was clearly targeting.
But you had fun. You had fun, though, Drab. You had fun.
The guy was unconscious on the middle. I did have fun. You know, hey, don't sleep on fun.
Yeah.
Don't sleep on fun.
I was about to say, we haven't had a lot of fun with our rooting interest in football in Lord knows how long. Ryan brought this up. I thought it was a good point. With the way Leavitt played, knowing some of the other quarterback needy teams out there in the college football landscape, any fear that someone puts together a silly package for him?
Well, I guess that could always be a fear, but I think he's locked in. He went to Michigan State. He's from Oregon. He went to Michigan State as a freshman, transferred after 1 year, came. I think we're good. I mean, we haven't had a lot of guys leave. ASU's never going to have the NIL money that some of these other schools have. But I think Dillingham is building something special there. And, you know, we'll give him a little bit of money, not as much as, like, Alabama or someone that can pay for. But, I think he's locked in at least for another year or two, and then who knows.
All righty, buddy.
I hate the NIL. NIL is ruining everything. The portal. I don't know. It's ruining everything. I mean, you can't root for players.
Yeah, it's tough.
Can't get attached to them.
Can't get attached. Drab, are you in tomorrow, bright and early?
I'll be here. I'm breaking it down. Having fun. Having fun, Clary.
Yeah, I was about to say, emphasis on having fun. Drab, appreciate you as always, brother, man.
Thanks, guys. Later.
Wow.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. That is the... assistant producer, the lead producer, whatever we're calling him, the producer of the Junkies, big Arizona State fan, big guy that likes to have fun.
I mean, I just had to poke fun at him there just because I thought he was going to be like livid, like
yelling.
I didn't know
he was watching it in a sports bar. I thought I guess he wants to get away from the Twins to watch the game.
I mean, he's got young kids. I'm sure he probably wanted some alone time to watch it. But, I mean, we are rooting for Arizona State. Like, I wanted to see them win.
Yeah, so did I.
And I do make fun of their coach to him all the time because I think he's a little bit of a weirdo. But, I mean, I was rooting for him. He did great. Like, good for them. Hopefully they're back next year. I don't think they will be. But
that's the thing.
That was a lot of fun.
This is the beauty, though, lost in the sauce, so to speak. This is the beauty of the college football playoff. Like, Arizona State wouldn't have made it if that rule didn't exist for the conference title winners. So a lot more to get to here on this New Year's Day edition of Grant Danny, top of the 6 o'clock hour. We're here from Josh Robbins of The Athletic. Talk a little bit about the Washington Wizards as they're in action tonight at home against the Chicago Bulls. When we come back, though, we'll ask the question I asked before the last break. What's a bigger concern for the Commanders getting geared up for the postseason, the run defense or the weapons on the perimeter? We'll tackle that next on The Fan. Welcome back. It's Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. It's the youngest in charge, Linnell Willingham, sitting in for G&D here on New Year's Day. Wild finish to the Peach Bowl between Arizona State and Texas. Quinn Ewers, three big-time throws down the stretch to lock things up for the Longhorns. But I want to move on and get off the college football playoff for a second. Quick update, Will Howard a company going Kanye crazy right now. 14-0 over Oregon in the Rose Bowl. And it doesn't look like this one is going to be competitive. down the stretch. We'll get back into the burgundy and gold while we have the second. Remember, top of the 6 o'clock hour, our pal Josh Robbins, who covers the Wizards for The Athletic, going to join us. Wizards in action tonight at home as they play host to the Chicago Bulls. You can check that out right here on the Team 980. We'll lose our 980 audience here on 106.7 The Fan at about 6:40 or so to transition into the pregame. But what I want to get into now is Washington in their potential playoff matchups coming in the postseason. Right now, they're locked into the sixth seed. Depending on how Sunday wraps up in Week 18 of the National Football League, they'll either travel to Tampa to take on the Bucks, or they'll travel to L.A. to take on the Rams in that wild card round. But the question I have for you all out there on the MGM National Harbor Listener lines at 1-800-636-1067, what is your bigger concern for the Washington Commanders as they get geared up for the postseason? The run defense has been a significant problem for the better part of the regular season. We saw it in the first half Sunday against Atlanta. Bijan Robinson, you know, averaging 4 and 5 yards a pop before contact, damn near ran for 100 yards in that first half. Ball control and a couple of key defensive stops helped them slow down Atlanta's rushing attack on Sunday, but that is clearly a big problem. What's the bigger concern for you, Washington's run defense or what Washington currently has at their skill position spots? We talked to Logan Paulson, former Redskins tight end, earlier in the show, and one thing me and him have both been consistent about when it comes to highlighting this Washington Commanders offense is the job Cliff Kingsbury has done scheming open bargain bin wide receivers like Olamide Zaccheaus and Jamison Crowder. Zach Ertz, a guy that's at the latter part of his career, finding favorable matchups for him week in and week out. I think Cliff deserves a ton of credit for that, but in terms of what my bigger concern would be for the postseason, I've said it all year long. Our questions were answered coming out of the bye week without Noah Brown as to who would step up and fill the production void on offense, but we still are not sure how they are going to be able to stop opposing offenses in the postseason, specifically with the rushing attack. When you look at what Blake Corum and Kyren Williams present to you in L.A. with the Rams, tough group to stop. Here's the bigger issue. It's not that they can't stop the run. It's what they have to do in order to stop the run. And the compromise they have to make defensively is when you stack the box to defend the run and you're putting 7-8 guys in the box, puts your corners in a really stressful situation. And the health of Marshon Lattimore, we still don't know moving forward. That's why you made that trade for him at the deadline. But let's just be real about it. Either in a matchup against Tampa or LA, you're going to have to commit 7 and 8 defenders to stop the run. And then it comes down to this question. Who do you feel more confident against with our defensive backs? Do you feel more confident going up against Mike Evans and Jalen McMillan or Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp? And I continue to believe either matchup that you draw, it's going to be a difficult set of circumstances for you. The practice report came out for today in their quote-unquote jog through. Marshon Lattimore, along with a bevy of other different guys, were listed as DNP, so to speak. We'll get much more clarity tomorrow in terms of what it looks like for the actual practice report, but we'll take another timeout. When we come back, final 45 minutes of the show, we'll switch things to the hardwood. Our pal Josh Robbins of The Athletic joins us next.